Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, as the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the clubhead is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There was only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
...703 on this Saturday morning. Good morning, it's Hardy here with you on the Sports Hub Golf Club. Sean Silver alongside, taking care of headlines. Billy Lanny manning the phones, and as we know, they will be hot today as we languish in this dead time between the U.S. Open and the British Open. But there's still plenty to talk about here this morning, so if you'd like to call in, I imagine I will get a couple of calls here this morning because I have a couple of things we're going to talk about that tend to rile people up, and I don't know why. I truly don't know why this still riles people up, but we're going to have to address it because they brought themselves out earlier this week. So we will begin with a couple of the tournaments that are going on right now. One of them is something that's happening at the Quicken Loans National. Now, the Quicken Loans National is, I would say, like a medium tournament. It's not a complete, goof, John Deere Classic, around the British Open time. It's certainly not on order of some of the larger regular season tours, but it's big enough to where they attract a pretty decent field. And there is a gentleman playing this week that is making the crowds roar to the point where I had one clip of this gentleman making a birdie on 18 yesterday, which wasn't even his 18th hole. He teed off on 10 yesterday. He made a birdie on 18 after chipping in, and the sound was so bad, so overmodulated from the crowd roaring, can't even use it. That gentleman is Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods yesterday shot a 500 par 65, and people are once again beginning to lose their minds. And I get it, man. I get it. This is something that people still clamor for. They still want to see Tiger out there. And when he's playing well, whoo, do people get excited. And I tell you what, a 65, especially yesterday on that golf course where there were some very low scores. Kevin Streelman shot a 62. But 65 was the third lowest score yesterday. There were a handful of 64s. Turned in by somebody who's sitting near the top of the leaderboard, Brian Gay. Chesson Hadley's been playing very well lately. He shot a 64 yesterday. And Tiger Woods right in there with his 65, alongside some really, really decent players out there. One of my favorite guys on tour right now, Harold Varner III, who is, I believe, the only other African-American player on the course right now. In the PGA, Harold Varner and Tiger Woods. That's pretty much it. He also posted a 65 yesterday. But people are now thinking, well, Tiger Woods, maybe he's back. Maybe he's back after all. Well, do we want to talk about the even par 70 he shot in the first round when you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 25, 30 guys managed to break par in the first round, and Tiger Woods went out there and just shot. I mean, this is not a U.S. Open setup. This is the Quicken Loans National at TPC Potomac. This is not the toughest setup they're going to play all year. This isn't even in the top half of the toughest setups they're going to play all year. So people tend to look past the stories that don't kind of play into the Tiger is on the comeback trail when they, and I get it. People get excited. They want Tiger to be out there playing. I want Tiger to be out there playing again because I think it makes it more interesting. He is still, and this is one of my favorite things, he is still the guy that other players who played against him in his prime, and you got to go back, let's say for the sake of argument, give it a nice standard number, 15 years. I mean, it's been 17 years since he lapped the field at the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. But he was still on top of his game, as we all know, right up through 2008. And as recently as 2013, he was the number one player in the world. People forget that about Tiger. 2013, he won 5 times on tour. It's player of the year. Nobody even close. It's Tiger. You know how tough it is to win once on the PGA Tour, to get a couple of tour wins in your career, to win 3 or 4 times? He won 5 times in 2013. But people don't consider that really being back because none of those wins were a major. Fine, if you only want to count majors, and there's good arguments to say that these guys want to win those tournaments more than any others, so if you want to say not winning a major is fodder for those who say you haven't really achieved that comeback status yet, that's fine. But I'm saying that Tiger was good, the best golfer in the world as recently as 5 years ago, but still, the fall off since then, the drop off the cliff due to injury, due to personal issues, due to everything else that he's had to deal with, it's been ginormous. So for him to even be able to come back and shoot a 65 in the second round, it's impressive. A guy of his age going up against much younger players and guys who were not even looking at him as a colleague. But that gets to my previous point, is my favorite part about this is the guys who did play with Tiger back during that time. Look at the other players who are going up against him right now, all right? And they say to the Bo Hostlers of the world, to the Brian Gays, who are Bo and Brian are tied atop the leaderboard right now at the Quicken Loans National, 9 under par. If these guys, and they do from time to time, find themselves pairing alongside Phil Mickelson or one of the older players who are still out there and still getting around on the PGA Tour without going to the Champions Tour, and they say, "Wow, this is great being out here with Tiger." And Phil will look at him and say, "This isn't being out here with Tiger." Let me tell you what it was like to be out here with Tiger. You would show up on Thursday, and if Tiger was there, you knew you couldn't win. That's what it was like to play against Tiger. You think you're playing against Tiger now because Tiger shot a 65 in the second round, and you can hear the crowd going nuts from 6 fairways over. You are literally on the other side of the golf course, and you can tell where Tiger is by the sound of the birdie roars. When he manages to chip one in like he did on 18 yesterday, his 9th hole of the round, or you hear him uncork a drive, or he hits a tee shot on a par 3 that settles next to the pin 2 feet away, and you hear that crowd and you know where he is. You think that it's that's what it feels like to play against Tiger? No. Here's what it feels like. It's all of that you just mentioned, that sense of him being out there, that energy you feel from the gallery, the difference when the crowd roars for him as opposed to you or anybody else, on top of the feeling that you have no chance of beating him. He's that much better than you, and the only way it's going to happen is if he screws up multiple times and you play your very best game. That's what it was like to play against Tiger. Now, there was one guy who did it, and he had some really interesting things to say this week, and that's Rocco Mediate. We're going to get to him in a minute, but there's one other thing about Tiger this week that I wanted to touch on before we move on, and that is the fact that, and again, this is a big deal. If you've been following Tiger, and you know what it's like to know what kind of equipment he's got in the bag and everything else that he's been doing over the years, Tiger Woods changed putters. Oh, this kind of is a big deal. For years, he's been playing the Scotty Cameron Newport 2. Won 13 major championships with that Scotty Cameron Newport 2. Okay? I'm reading a column here from golf.com. It's the one putter he doesn't let his kids play with. It's the one he's longed for during periods when he's been encouraged to use a Nike putter on tour or other equipment. Nope. Not going away from that Scotty Cameron Newport number two. That's it. That's my putter. He changed this week. He knew that his game on the greens was not good enough to put him in a position to win. So, and if you're not an analytics guy, you're not a metrics guy, you're not going to dig this, but he did look at his putting results from this season. He's barely inside the top 100 in strokes gained putting, which is a metric they use to determine how many putts you're making, from what distances, how many strokes you're gaining on the field with your putting. So if you are close to 100, then you are not putting well. So he went with, and this is what's throwing people off. It's not another blade putter like the Scotty Cameron Newport 2. He went with the TaylorMade TP Black Copper Ardmore 3 Mallet Putter.
Oh,
Mallet Putter! No, not the dreaded Mallet Putter! Well, he was using it on the practice green on Tuesday at the Quicken Loans, and everybody said, oh, what is he doing? It's got a similar hosel to the one on his Newport, I guess, but it's the mallet style. It's the tiny little club. If you're not familiar with what the club looks like, it's kind of the a traditional mallet putter will kind of have like a half moon design to it. And this one's a little funkier than that, but it's got the fangs coming off the back of it, right? Helps for balance, helps for all this stuff. Well, you could argue that it helped him yesterday in his 65, maybe not so much in the 70 that he posted on Thursday. But I will say this. If he changed putters once, that is putting him down the path. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. There are very good players on tour who are not in love with their putters. You know, not everybody is Ben Crenshaw and walks around with the same flat stick in his hand for years and years and years and uses that, no matter what. There are other guys who change clubs like you and I change our socks. Right? It's not a big deal for some guys. For Tiger, this is a big deal. And once you go down that road, you watch. I'd be shocked if he's still using that TaylorMade TP Black Copper Ardmore 3 Mallet Putter next week. And whatever putter he's using next week, whether it's he goes back to the Scotty Cameron, or he goes to an Odyssey putter, or if he goes to a Ping, it'll be something else. And then it'll be something else, and then it'll be something else. Because once you crack the seal on that, maybe it's an equipment thing. Oh boy. Now you've opened Pandora's box. You've got a different feel, and you start chasing. You start chasing the dragon, man. You have no idea what you're looking for. Once you try something else, it is a very dangerous road to go down. But it worked out for him yesterday with his 65. So for everybody who's excited to see Tiger, guess what? You'll get to see him play over the weekend. A guy who dueled against Tiger in maybe one of his most memorable major performances was Rocco Mediate. Rocco Mediate had something very interesting to say about another tournament going on this weekend where it's not even my favorite story. My favorite story about the U.S. Senior Open going on has to do with a baseball player by the name of John Smoltz. We'll get to that. We'll get to what Rocco Mediate had to say about the Open setups here in recent weeks. And as I said, if you want to chime in on the putter, on John Smoltz, on Rocco Mediate, any of the stuff that we're going to be talking about, get ready, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've learned a lot. I mean, I learned my game wasn't ready, but today was a battle, and I really tried to find a rhythm. I tried to hit three fairways in a row. I almost did that, but I learned so much more. It took too long for me to get comfortable. You know, I felt like every time there was an opportunity to make a good shot, I would mess it up and felt terrible, but I grinded and I feel so much better. And this will be something I will replay it when I go on the plane tomorrow, because I know I don't have to wait around for anything. But I really did have a good time. That I can't say enough about the folks here and the touring pros, because they were They were awesome.
That's John Smoltz with Holly Saunders as he shot the Trunk Slammer on Thursday. He did not shoot the Trunk Slammer on Friday. He actually came back a little bit, but the proverbial Trunk Slammer, when you walk off the course, throw the clubs in the back of your courtesy car, slam the trunk, and drive to the airport. Do they get you know what? They probably don't even get courtesy cars at the U.S. Senior Open. Maybe they don't even get them, especially if you barely get in and you squeak in. But let's just do a little recap here on John Smoltz for the children listening right now. Billy Lanny's our producer today. Sean Silver, also a big baseball guy. John Smoltz, the real deal, right? Cy Young winner, Billy Lanny?
Legit, yep.
Legit.
Closa, Stada, did them both well.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, John Smoltz was a Red Sox for...
Not a Hall of Fame performance.
Cup of coffee,
2009,
right?
Not good.
Okay, he is up here for a few minutes. It's nice to see him wearing the Red Sox uniform there at Fenway.
He wasn't. He was what, like 2-7? It wasn't.
Okay.
It was even bad because he went to the Cardinals. I think he did well.
Oh,
everyone does well when they go to the Cardinals.
It was a rough time for everybody, but...
Over the course of his career.
Think about that.
Great career.
Think about that. He was playing in 2009. And I believe at the tail end of his time here, when he was really trying to make an imprint on this organization, right when the Sports Hub signed on the air, right?
Some fodder for some early gripes from callers, I'm sure.
Exactly. You know, you got people attacking him on a brand new radio station in town just when he's trying to, you know, finish off his... Is one season there with the Red Sox. Yeah, but
2-5, 8.33 ERA.
John Smoltz, hell of a golfer. Always been a good golfer.
Rick Roden level?
I don't know. I do not have their USGA indexes side by side, so I cannot compare them definitively. But I will say this. Smoltz, always known as a very good player. Troop and I used to argue about this because one of my big things has been golfers... generally start this process of being high-level players right out of the womb. You know, there's famous footage of Tiger Woods on a Mike Douglas show swinging a club when he's 2 years old. Some of the women out there on tour right now play this sport as soon as they can walk. There are exceptions. There are a handful of guys out there who don't pick up a club until they're 16, 17 years old. After they've decided they really don't like baseball anymore, or they're not developing at a fast enough rate in basketball to play in high school and blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, you go and check any of the guys on tour right now, PGA Tour, Senior Tour, hell, the Canadian Tour, the Web.com Tour, most of these guys have been playing for a long, long time and not doing much else in terms of devoting a ton of time at trying to get to the highest level. So when John Smoltz or a lot of hockey players play golf, Sean Thornton is, you know, I guess a decent player. I've never played with him, but I've talked to Sean Thornton about golf before. But the ultimate authority on this, I feel, is Ray Bourque, who I've asked about this a couple of times over the years, as recently as last year. Coincidentally, at a preview event for the U.S. Senior Open when it was held at Salem Country Club last year. And I sat down with Ray. I said, Ray, I asked you this once before. I said, because we were talking about hockey players and golfers and why, you know, the sport seems to translate between the two. And I thought it was due to a balance or a timing issue. And Ray Bourque said, you know, why hockey players make good golfers? I said, yeah, why is that, Ray? He said, well, it's just because we have our summers off. I said, oh, okay, that's a good reason. But I said, what about guys who plan to make the transition once they get done playing hockey? I said, Ray, you've been a single-digit player, you know, for as long as I've known that you were a golfer. I mean, Ray Bourque is legit. I think he's got a simulator in his house, you know, in his actual home, where when he's not playing golf, he's still playing golf. He's at home. I mean, this guy is a stick, has been for a long time. I said, Ray, what do you make of these guys who want to move on and either, you know, actually,
get regular playing time on the Champions Tour, which is for golfers 50 age 50 and over, or they want to qualify for the U.S. Senior Open and get out there and play and compete at a high level. And Ray Bourque laughed and said, "Don't stop it." Yet he said, "These guys are so much better than you think they are." He said, "It's a different game. You may be the best player at your club and your club champion. You're this, that, and the other thing. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't do it." Now, John Smoltz, to his credit, did it. He qualified. He went through the qualifying process. There are no, you know, sponsor exemptions in an open. You have to qualify by virtue of how you play the rest of the year, or you have to play, well in the qualifiers locally, sectionally, in order to get in. And John Smoltz did that. He had tried before, but this year he actually did it. So what did he do when he got there? Well, he went out and shot a 15 over par 85 in the first round. We heard him coming back there, but I've got more. He says, "I can sum it up. I made a lot of bogeys." He missed a 4-footer for par on the first hole. He said, "A lot of par putts turned into easy bogeys. I didn't hit the ball in the fairway enough. I thought I hit a lot of good shots that just didn't get good results." Well, A, that's kind of what U.S. Open golf is about, either at the senior level or any other level. The course setups are harder. But John Smoltz's idea of a good shot is not the idea of a good shot of some of the guys he's out there playing against. I mean, you know, Corey Pavin is in the hunt this week. You know, this guy's won an actual U.S. Open. You know, there are guys out there who do this all the time. They know the difference between a good shot for me and a good shot for them. Jerry Kelly, who has been lights out for a long time out there right now, he knows the difference. Miguel Angel Jimenez, who's one stroke off the lead after two rounds, he knows the difference between a good shot for you and a good shot for me. John Smoltz, as good as he is he really good enough to go out there and tee it up with Davis Love III, who is four strokes off the lead right now? Davis Love III isn't quite knocking on the door quite yet. David Toms, Billy Andrade, Rocco Mediate, who we're going to get to more on Rocco in a minute. It's just not there. Here's what else he said. "I never expected to get that many bad lies. Nothing I could do about it. And I had a lot of tough shots that I have not practiced and that I am not used to hitting." John Smoltz, who is 10 times, 20 times, 100 times better player than I'll ever be, was faced with shots that he hasn't practiced and he's not used to hitting. Now, I know he's got a gig. I know he's broadcasting baseball games for Fox. But the fact is, you qualified for the U.S. Senior Open, dude, so what do you do to get ready for it? He went to the golf course for the very first time this week. Now, he did a smart thing, I think. He hired a local caddy who is also a very good collegiate player. So he got somebody with some local knowledge. But you don't show up and play the course until the week before the Open? All right, you got to work, I guess. "Never expected that many bad lies. Had a lot of tough shots. I haven't practiced. Not used to hitting those shots." How good do you have to be? The answer is better than John Smoltz, apparently. Now, he came back and shot a 77 in the second round. I give him a ton of credit for that. From 15 over par to 7 over par in the second round. Good for you. But 22 over par? It just goes to what I've always thought, and what Ray Bourque said, you got no business being out there. The cut line was 8 over. John Smoltz blew past the cut line by 14 strokes. And he's not the only one. Hell, I mean, there are guys out there who posted score. There was a 93 shot in the first round on Thursday by an amateur by the name of Dennis Martin. How do you think he's feeling today? There are other names you recognize. Hale Irwin. I tell you what, John Smoltz, you want a small victory to take away from this? Hale Irwin went 79-85. So you beat Hale by two strokes. Hale, who has not been really a competitive golfer for a long time, but still shows up and plays in a lot of things. I don't know how he qualifies for the U.S. Open. Maybe he does get an exemption. I don't know.
How old is Hale?
Hale Irwin. You know what? You could probably tell me quicker.
Oh, there it is, 73.
Okay, 73 wow. years old. Probably doesn't have any business teeing it up out there anymore.
Used to be a force on the senior tour, though, back in the day.
He was, and still shows up at Augusta. I no chance of winning, but okay. Jesper Parnevik, he's a good player. He's 17 over, 79, 78. All right, so it's not the worst thing in the world to say I'm not as good as the best. But just know, nowhere close. When you're talking a 14-stroke difference between you and the cut line, and when you're talking about, when you're looking at the leader, the guy who's and not far and away on top of the leaderboard right now. I mean, they're packed up there at minus 5, minus 4, minus 3, and a handful of players at 1 under par. When you're talking a 27-stroke difference between you and the leader after two rounds, you're not playing the same game. A few times during the round, Smoltz had to stop, take off his shoes, and tape up his toes. Why? He was breaking in new shoes, walking the course at the U.S. Open. I'm like, okay. Well, Sean Silver, you play a little golf?
A little bit.
Brand new shoes. Would you go out and wear them four rounds in a row at the U.S. Open?
Not a good idea to do that in any sport at all, to break in
new shoes. Would you go walking around Canobie Lake Park in brand new shoes?
He probably never did it with baseball cleats, let alone golf spikes.
Oh, my gosh.
Bob Ford, who was paired with him or in the threesome with Smoltz, said it was fun to have him out there. I didn't expect him to break 80. I know how good he is. But this is just another world. It's not his world.
And he was complaining about his feet all the whole time.
That's one of his playing partners said he's a good guy, but he's got no business being out here.
He means well.
Better or worse for John Smoltz, his performance this last week here, or his 2009 season with the Red Sox?
Now, that's an interesting comparison. The final quote from Smoltz, he said, I hit three bad shots, and I shot 85. And I'm thinking, what? You don't really believe that. And then he explains, he says, it just tells you from an amateur standpoint for people sitting at home how great these players are. Okay, thank you, John. You get it now. Finally. Hell of an accomplishment to qualify for that thing. And the 77 in the second round, I give him credit for it. And anybody else that thinks they're going to do it, let that serve as a cautionary tale. John Smoltz is way better than you probably will ever be. Certainly, speaking to myself, John Smoltz, way better golfer than I will ever be. Thoughts of going and playing on the Senior Open. Get the hell out of here. Silver's got the update. Oh, Rocco Mediate, talking crap about everybody. I love this story. And John Daly, who's all pissed off at the USGA. You want to know why? He hurt his knee in a Hooters parking lot, and they won't let him play golf the way he wants to. I couldn't make this stuff up if I wanted to. We'll talk about it next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Can't get a card. It's a legitimate injury. A rough night for the Red Sox in the Bronx. CeCe Sabathia shut him down over seven innings. The Yankees hit four home runs. They cruise to an 8-1 victory over Boston. The Bombers now tied with the Sox, top the AL East with four games in hand. We got a Saturday night game. Broken record. We don't have any Saturday day games anymore. We got a Saturday night game. Red Sox, Yankees, Chris Sale, Sonny Gray, your pitching matchup this evening. Some NBA notes. LeBron James will not pick up his player option with the Cavs. That'll make him a free agent in about, what's that? Do the quick math. 17 hours from now. 16 and a half hours. DeAndre Jordan also will reportedly opt out of his deal with the Clippers. The Warriors have signed Steve Kerr to an extension that will make him among the highest-paid coaches in the NBA. World Cup arrives at the knockout round today. France and Argentina, your first game. Portland and Uruguay have the later match today. Back home, the Revs taking on DC United over at Gillette. 7:30, your match start time. It's right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Tiger Woods is in striking range at the Quicken Loans National. Excuse me. Shot at 5-under-65 yesterday. He is four shots off the lead, and the LA Kings have re-upped franchise defenseman Drew Doughty $88 million extension takes the former Norris Trophy winner through his age 37 season with the Kings. Sports Up headlines are brought to you by Core Golf Driving Range and Practice Center in Natick. Practice every shot in your bag. Drop by during lunch or after work. Hit a bucket under the lights until 9 p.m. KOHRGolf.com. I'm Sean Silver, Boston Over Sports, 98.5 The Sports Up. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
.742 Saturday morning, Sports Hub Golf Club. It's Hardy. Rocco Mediate was asked about the U.S. Senior Open setup. We were talking about it due to John Smoltz. And by the way, one more thing on John Smoltz. His 85 in the first round that, you know, we're goofing on him for and laughing at. I would kill for an 85 today at pick a course. If I walked over to George Wright and thought I could get on a Saturday, which chances are I could not. Actually, a buddy of mine had a tee time, I think, for 5:18 this morning. He asked me if I wanted to join, or he was trying to get one. He couldn't get it. Like, nah, I got to work anyway. If I shot an 85 at George Wright today, you would hear me screaming about it from the tops of my lungs. I would be so proud of myself, much less an 85 on a U.S. Open setup like John Smoltz did. So I'm fully aware of how good he is. But Rocco Mediate was talking about the setup and the complaints from the other U.S. Open at Shinnecock a couple of weeks ago, specifically about the third round, where afterward, Zach Johnson said they lost the golf course. And even the USGA admitted we lost a green or two out there throughout the course of the day, meaning it got too fast, the conditions got away from them, and it proved unplayable for a time on Saturday on at least one green. USGA was willing to admit it at least that much. Other players said the course itself just got away from them. So Rocco Mediate, who you'll remember lost to Tiger Woods in a playoff in that phenomenal win for Tiger back in 2008 when he was on his broken leg, right? That was a Monday playoff for Tiger Woods at that U.S. Open against Rocco Mediate. So Rocco knows a thing or two about playing high-level golf. He's out there at the U.S. Senior Open now. Says, what about the tough setup? Rocco says, truthfully, it's been a bunch of bull bleep. From what I've heard, complete horse bleep. I'll say it again if you want me to. Rocco says, here's the deal. 2 weeks ago, Shinnecock, if you don't like it, and if you don't like how it's set up, hit better shots. A, hit better shots. B, don't come. This is all a quote. Don't come. Someone will take your place. It's real, real simple. Now you're getting me mad. They're talking about, well, you just shot 10 feet right of the pin, rolled into the bunker. Hit it left of the pin then, okay? Because everybody's got to play the golf course. So Rocco didn't leave it alone. He says, let me ask you this question too. Remember the one about the golf course change from the morning? Have you ever played one that didn't? He said, of course it's going to change. That's what it's supposed to do. Sometimes it can get softer in the afternoon. Sometimes it gets firmer. When I heard that week made me want to throw up, basically. Just shut up and play. Because I guarantee you that trophy, that beautiful trophy they give away this week and 2 weeks ago, is way worth the crap you have to go through to win it. It is. I haven't done that yet, but it is. I had this much on it. It's worth the try. I absolutely loved hearing Rocco say that. And again, Rocco Mediate is a guy who was well-liked and well-thought of and had a lot of people like in his corner, even before he and Tiger dueled down the stretch at Torrey Pines back in 2008, 10 years ago, 18-hole playoff. It was the last 18 hole playoff, by the way, in the U.S. Open. It was the last. It was probably the last time we'll ever see that. But man, what a duel down the stretch! And for Rocco to come out and say, "Look, there's no fair or unfair. Just shut up and play. And if you don't like it, then don't show up. Someone will take your place. If you're going to be one of these people who complains about the setup that everybody has to play on, then just don't play it or hit better shots. Those are your two choices. It's going to roll off." And while I agree 90% with what Rocco says, I think some of those shots were frustrating to the point where players just lost their control over what maybe they knew was the wrong thing to say, and they said, "Look, we're getting penalized for hitting good shots here." Everybody knows what those greens do. Those guys have these yardage books that they pay hundreds of dollars for that other people put together, and then their own caddies go out there and walk the course, and they play practice rounds, and they hit shots from all these different angles. And okay, maybe it didn't do that in your practice round. Maybe when you're out there hitting three balls from three different approaches on all these greens on Tuesday or Monday before you actually started the tournament, the ball actually stayed in that spot, and it didn't on Saturday. Oh, well. The same thing happened to all those players. Hit better shots or don't play, but don't complain about it, because as Rocco said, if you end up winning it, it's worth it to go through what you have to go through. So that's what Rocco had to say about the people complaining about the setup. I got an email here a little while ago from the head pro down at TPC Boston with regard to Tiger Woods and his chances this weekend. Mark emailed me when I said, as the head pro down at TPC in Norton, he said, "Tiger leads the PGA Tour in third round scoring average. Today could be huge." And then he embedded a tweet there from the PGA Tour. "Tiger's scoring average ranks this season. Round one, he's 162nd. Not good. Round two, 156th. Not good. Round three, first." He has the best scoring average in the third round of anyone on the PGA Tour this season. Round four, he's 80th. Right around the whatever. I don't know how many players are ranked there. It's more than are on the PGA Tour, because you have different players in, week out, due to exemptions and whatnot. So it's more than the standard field, I should say.
Is there a good sample size for that, the number of tournaments the Tigers participated in this year?
I don't know.
I mean, he's not out there every weekend.
Is it a big enough sample size? Probably not, to be fair. You're right, he's not out there every week.
But he's been darn good in round three.
Isn't that enough?
Yeah, it is.
Why you got to rain on everybody's parade, Sean?
Not rain it, just...
Didn't have you pegged as a parade rainer. It surprises me about you.
I'm a positive person, Hardy.
Are you?
Yeah.
That replay that last 20 seconds of your life in your mind and tell me how positive you think you came across right there.
Might have been a misstep.
John Daly is a national treasure. We'll talk about him and why he will never play in a USGA event again when we come back to wrap up the Sports Hub Golf Club.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Back to wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I never met John Daly. I talked to him once. I said one word to him. He was walking off the green at the Las Vegas, the TPC Las Vegas. I was out there watching the tournament when they used to have it out there, and he had hit this par five in two shots, and he was just looking at this eagle putt, man, and nobody else was hitting this green in two shots that day. This is a long time ago. This is 20 years ago, right? Maybe 19 years ago. It was a long time ago. And Daly had hit this green in two. It hit like, you know, driver four iron. Everybody else is coming up short with driver, you know, fairway wood. But he hits it with a driver four iron probably that day. And he hits it to about 4 or 5 feet. And everybody else is putting out. And he's a mess. I mean, it is Vegas. And he is still wearing his, you know, his long sleeves. He's just sucking down Diet Cokes and pounding M&Ms and ripping Marlboro Reds. And in just one motion, he comes up, he puts his ball back down after he marked and everybody else had butted out. And he's got a cigarette going. And in one motion, he takes one drag off his butt, flicks it, walks up to the putt, rolls it in the hole, and gets the hell out of there. He was full on DTs. I mean, he's in Vegas. He was probably, you know, doing pulls on a $500 denomination slot machine an hour and a half before he teed off, right? $1,500 to pull on those things. He's just shaking. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. And people are like, oh, John Daly, eagle, nice putt. But I knew it wasn't the putt that he was proud of. It was the shot. It was the approach shot that he hit. That was the shot. So as he's walking past me, he's walking up the hill going to the next tee box, I just kind of stood up, and as John Daly walked past me, I said, shot, John. He goes, thanks. He gave me a moment. He gave me a look like I knew. He knew that I knew, and I knew that he knew. And that was my John Daly moment. He had a moment with the USGA this week where he said he was never playing one of their events again. Do you know why? He was denied use of a cart at the U.S. Senior Open.
That sounds unconstitutional.
Well, I am not a believer in carts being used where they are otherwise not allowed. This is an unpopular opinion. There's a golfer by the name of Casey Martin, a very good golfer who I believe is now a collegiate golf coach. Great guy. Wonderful player. Suffered from a birth defect in his right leg that made walking very difficult. He sued the PGA Tour in 2001 for the right to ride when he played in tour events. He cited the Americans with Disabilities Act, and he won. And he was allowed to use a cart for a while. I was not in favor of that ruling. Golf is not a sport by many people's estimation. It is an activity, and it requires a minimal amount of physical exertion. Now, I'll tell you this. If you think it's easy, go out and walk 18 holes today and see how you feel afterward. You'll be tired, right? But it doesn't, in terms of other sports, it does not require a whole lot of you. One thing it does require in one of the thousand stupid rules that make up the game of golf is that in PGA Tour events, you got to walk. And if you're unable to because of, for whatever reason, whether it's from birth, whether it's from an accident, whatever, you don't get to take a cart. That's the rule. Hold on a second. We got to get your microphone up there. Hey, Billy! Can we have Ryan's microphone on, please? Thank you.
Much like in baseball, you have to be able to run to first base after you hit the ball.
Yes, it is. And again, if you hit into the corner in left, and you know you're not going to make second, by the way the ball's bouncing, do you have to run fast to first?
Usually.
No.
You would not.
You can just trot down there.
Yes.
It doesn't require a lot, but you still got to do it.
Well, you can't like ride a skateboard.
Okay, you can't. That's the point,
right?
You can't.
That's what I'm saying. You can't.
You can't take a Segway down there.
Yes,
that's not allowed. Now, in other senior tour events, to get some of the big names and some of the big players out there, and in regular Champions Tour events, they do allow carts,
right?
And you know what? It speeds up play. You know. These guys are able to go out there, and you get to see more of the guys you want to see, and who cares? That's their rule. But the other rule is you can't take a cart unless at the bare minimum you have to provide on the Champions Tour, you have to provide the medical material saying, like, this is what it takes. They wouldn't let John Daly take one, and he said, fine, I'll never play in one of your events again. Now, on the PGA Tour, I say, Casey Martin, I'm sorry. I don't think you shouldn't have been allowed to take a cart. On the Champions Tour, they allow it from time to time. Even in the Senior Open, they'll allow it. USGA said, nope, we didn't get the proper paperwork from John Daly, so he doesn't get to take a cart. John Daly said, I had to withdraw, and I don't know what's ahead of me. But he also said, it just seems like something happens every year that Holst makes him look bad, and they never seem to learn from their mistakes. This is not their mistake, John. This is your mistake.
Is there a possibility he was just worried about breaking in his new golf shoes during the tournament?
No, that's a John Smoltz issue.
Does John Smoltz break in a new set of cleats during the World Series? I mean, it's like the most important rounds of golf ever. Don't you want everything to be you know, exactly perfect the way you like it, I'm going to try a new pair of shoes.
It almost seems like he knew he didn't stand a chance in hell and he didn't really
care all
that much. Yeah, but
even so, even if you didn't, like, I mean, you go in, if you qualified for the U.S. Open, and you know going in, like the firefighter from Brockton.
Matt Parziali.
He knows going in, he's not winning the U.S. Open, right? This would be like the ultimate underdog story.
Correct.
But you still show up ready to go. You still show up looking to put your best foot forward.
Correct. He did not do that. It does not seem like John Smoltz had all his ducks in a row for this tournament. One more thing about John Daly. Do you know how he injured his knee?
Falling out of a Hooters?
No.
No.
He had parked his RV in a Hooters parking lot.
Okay, it did have Hooters involved. I was close.
In Augusta, Georgia during Masters week. John Daly not invited to the Masters, but he shows up every week, and he tends to do this. He will just pull the RV off and start signing autographs. People know it's him, and they're like, hey, I love John Daly.
It's an RV in the parking lot of the Hooters in Augusta, Georgia. It must be John Daly.
It must be John Daly. Somebody lost control of their vehicle in the Hooters parking lot. Daly went to dive out of the way of the careening vehicle and injured his knee. This was back in April.
Wait, he hurt his knee leaping out of the way
out of a speeding vehicle that did, in fact, damage his RV in the Hooters parking lot. Again, you can't make it up.
Sure, that person had insurance.
Augusta, by the way, from all indications,
it's a hellhole, right?
Really nice town outside of the golf course.
So you walk outside those gates and it's... suddenly a whole different place.
It's like
Shoney's is the dining capital of Augusta.
It's like Escape from New York. It's like where the Duke lives is like really nice and everything else is just, you know, Snake Plissken killing people. I don't know what we're doing, Will. I'm going to get out of here too. Don't give me the hands. Well, you want me to leave? Fine. Ryan Johnson.
No, he can keep going.
I know.
I'm having fun.
These guys want me to stay. Mike Flynn is here now too. You guys all set? You ready to go?
Something like that.
Okay. Mike, you ready?
Yes, but I just almost threw up in my mouth. You mentioned Shoney's, and Shoney's, you know, when the first time you ever get drunk, I don't know if you ever drank it, and you just,
mine
was peach schnapps. I can't even smell
God.
That.
Oh, God.
I know, it was mixed with, I don't know how.
Were you 12?
Yeah, probably. So Shoney's is like that for me. My rookie year, I didn't have a car. They flew us in across from the hotel. We were there for like 3 or 4 days. Sorry, buddy. And there was a Shoney's there, which was, you know, I only place to eat. And I think I had lunch and dinner there for like 4 straight days. And to this day, when I think of Shoney's, I physically get ill. And at the time, going down, it felt fine. But I can never, if I see a Shoney's, and that's definitely down south. Do they even have Shoney's? The one in the Maryland area.
The only one I was ever in was in Albuquerque, and it was delightful. I went there a lot. I got to do one thing before I get out of here. Fittingly, it's the 19th hole, and it's brought to you by Deep Eddy Vodka, authentic American vodka made in the heart of Texas. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. Very quickly, since we were talking about John Daly, the best John Daly or Arnold Palmer you will ever drink is at the Bally High Golf Course in Las Vegas, and you better get there while you can, because I believe that's going to turn into a parking lot for the new Raiders Stadium. Bally High Golf Course, very cool course. It's right there on the strip, and it's a nice course, but I don't think it's going to be there much longer. The restaurant there is phenomenal. Their Arnold Palmers are made with fresh squeezed lemonade, which is a delight.
That sounds delightful.
The John Daly is, of course, an Arnold Palmer with vodka thrown in. So if you want to drink the best Arnold Palmer or John Daly you'll ever have in your life, do it at the restaurant at Bally High Golf Course.
They probably have like their own potato farm out back. They're making the vodka right in the kitchen.
Well, I don't know if it's that classy, but it's still a pretty classy joint.
I mean, fresh squeezed lemonade. They're going all out.
It's a pretty classy joint. Ryan Johnston, Mike Flynn up next after Sean Silver's Hub Headlines.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media.